You're listening to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor.
Good morning, good evening, wherever, whenever you may be listening. I'm John Vogel, and welcome to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place to start your podcast. Check out Anchor on the App Store, as app that's iTunes and Google, and start your podcast today. Well, yesterday we got some pretty stunning news. We got some news that we probably didn't expect to ever see in our lifetime. We expected to see something, but not what we did. And in this case, it is the signing of quarterback Patrick Mahomes, a 10-year contract extension with the Kansas City Chiefs. There are conflicting reports about how much money Mahomes is getting paid in this deal, which does make this somewhat humorous. ESPN and Adam Schefter reported it was worth $450 million over those 10 years, while NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reported it was worth $503. Schefter cited sources. Rappaport cited Mahomes' agency. So, difficult to tell which one is right, but either way, it's a really absurd number, and it shatters a record set by Mike Trout last year of the Los Angeles Angels for the biggest contract in sports history. Well, I suppose we should just get down to it, shouldn't we? This is a really interesting move. There's a couple things that need to be pointed out for the future. Number one, the NFL salary cap, per Ian Rappaport, I wrote about this last week, is expected to drop at least $40 million this year. So if you look at the salary cap in the NFL over the last 6-7 years, it's risen by about $10 million every year. The salary cap, in case you're not familiar with it, is put together by a combination of shared revenue from NFL contracts, exclusive rights, so on and so forth, things that are general NFL, because the NFL is technically still a nonprofit organization, which allows them to be able to do this. So that revenue that they generate from the league source is split evenly amongst the teams as part of the salary cap. At least a good portion of it is. Then there's another portion that's, you know, team money that goes into it, and that's how they put together a number in which you can pay your players in a year. And that's been rising drastically every year the last, like I said, 6-7 years. Put the chart together, the graph, just to show what it's been every year since, I think, 2012. Because 2011 was a weird year, and it was just kind of bad to keep going at that point. But anyways, so it's expected to drop from, it's about $200 million this year to around $160 next year. The crazy thing about that number is the fact that there were 10 teams, now 9, because Kansas City Chiefs were one of them, that had the salary cap, you know, had additional salary left already for next year if there's a $40 million drop. Kansas City just obliterated that number. And they're going to be reworking some contracts, either that or cutting some people, because it is going to be difficult to work with some of these contracts, because they are, some of them are bad. You're having to figure out, you're having to scrunch $40 million worth into 53 players. Really, at one point, it's going to be like 90, but yeah, you're trying to figure out how to get 53 players under that salary cap. Okay, so that's the crazy thing. The first crazy thing about this contract is you have so much uncertainty surrounding the salary cap. You don't know. Nobody knows what's going to happen after, you know, this whole coronavirus thing. This thing could linger around for a while. If it does, are you, what kind of revenue are you going to be able to generate? You know, this is so unknown, and there's so many factors with it that could go wrong. It could be more than $40 million that the NFL is cutting on, you know? Like, that's how crazy this is. So you're giving a guy more money per year on average than you've really ever given anyone in the NFL. You know, like $40 million was a big number for a quarterback. This is a deal that's averaging up to somewhere between $45 and $50 a year. That's insane. That is absolutely insane. But the Chiefs did the right thing. All right, the Chiefs did do the right thing with this because they have handled, they needed to get this quarterback locked down. And they got a team-friendly deal. They did. They got a very team-friendly deal. If you look at the details that were released by Tom Pelissero, it's been applauded nationally so far for the way that just how friendly it is on both sides. And Mahomes' injury coverage, and just, it's insane. This deal is groundbreaking in the sense that this could be the new norm for quarterbacks. Maybe not the 10 years part. I don't know about that. Because, I mean, DC, the Texans trying to sign Deshaun Watson to a 10-year, $450 million deal. You see the Cowboys trying to give Dak a 10-year, $450 million deal. I don't see either one of those teams. But what I'm saying is, you've got a superstar young quarterback. This kind of a deal is going to be huge. All right? It's going to take off. Really impressed, though. Kansas City is going to have to figure out how they're going to retain other talent. You're fixing to pay a guy on your team about 25% of your salary cap. One guy. That's going to cut you short in other places. You know, so if I'm Chris Jones, because Chris Jones last week threatened to sit the entire season if he didn't get his contract extension, like Le'Veon Bell did with the Steelers. If I'm Chris Jones, I'm getting out of Kansas City as fast as I can. Like, that's what I would do if I were him. Because it's very clear you're not going to be there long term. They don't have any salary to give you the money that you want. They don't. They don't have it. Just move on at this point. If they're not going to trade you, go ahead. Sit out this year. You know? It's your body, it's your money, your decision. That's another thing people, for a long time, people didn't get about the NFL. They thought that that players who did this kind of thing, they're selfish, immature, whatever. No, it's like it's their body, their money. You know, so let them do what they're going to do with it. You know, that's the thing that's crazy is, you know, there's freedom, you know, to do what you want, to make your own business decisions, your own personal decisions. And the NFL is a profession. It is a business. You have to make business decisions and what's best for you, what's best for your family. Just like any other guy working a job. You know, are you going to take a job in which you get paid, you know, $50,000 a year and get benefits? Or are you going to take a job in which you're going to get $60,000 a year and no benefits? You know, so there's all sorts of different factors that come into play, you know, and that people don't realize. The NFL is a profession. Just always remember that. And Mahomes pulled off one of the craziest deals. His agent worked this out tremendously well. And I think it's also big because the Chiefs keep their quarterback with Andy Reid, assuming Andy Reid stays in Kansas City long term, for the long term future. They have a chance. They have a window right now to go win another Super Bowl with the talent that was retained on that team this year. And they've got a lot of their top guys locked under contract through 2021, 2022. So really, they've got a couple years worth of windows where they can really put together some dominant performances, and it's going to be fun. It is going to be fun to watch the Kansas City Chiefs go. Anyways, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got some other stuff to get into. Probably going to touch on some college football today just to kind of settle into some things and get us all thinking about other stuff. And yeah, coming up next on the John Vogel Show. Welcome back to the John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place to start your podcast. Go to anchor.fm to get more info regarding what Anchor can do for you to get your podcast launched and on a national platform. Best place to do it. Wow. So there's a few people that reach out to me about NFL draft people. You know, NFL agents and stuff, and asking me what I think about certain guys, if there's anybody that they need to know about. And it's usually, you know, because right now colleges are having these virtual agent meetings, essentially. They get all their senior players together, and they go start talking with agents to kind of start figuring out where they're going to go when they, you know, move on and lose their college eligibility and try to enter the NFL. And it's a really good opportunity to get some good info, so on and so forth. Part of the process that you really don't ever hear anything about from a media standpoint if you're a fan. And what that's allowed me to do is look at a lot of schools with some talent that I don't normally look at. And I think that's what's the best thing about, you know, being able to talk to people who are in and around the league is, you know, getting to trade information and talk about people, talk about things, kind of figure things out. And so I think it is worth my time to bring up a couple people that I've seen so far and kind of talk about this college football season that's upcoming, because this is a big topic. We don't know if we're going to have college football in the fall. That's how big this topic is. We've already had the Ivy League move the football season to the spring. And there are a lot of people that are starting to think that a lot of the major conferences and the Power Five are going to do the same thing. And if they do that, it's not going to be the same college football season as we know it. It's going to be a shortened season, abbreviated, nothing outside of league play. So everything that was scheduled and all this is not going to happen. It's just going to be canceled. And then we're going to move on to the next year, hopefully. So, and let me tell you this. If college football moves to the spring, it is not going to be the same at all. It is not. And I'm not saying this as an attempt to discourage people or say that, yeah, the season's going to be a wash. I'm just telling you up front, it's not going to be anything near the same. It's going to feel weird. It's going to be a whole lot less meaning. You're going to get some of your traditional rivalries, obviously the Iron Bowl, obviously the game, the Egg Bowl. But it is going to feel, it is going to feel like the XFL did. And if you watched an XFL game, because I watched pretty much all of them, if you watched an XFL game, you saw, like, it was nice. It was kind of nice. It was like, all right, football, when there's not normally football, it was somewhat entertaining, but there was a lot that was devoid. And it was, you know, the atmospheres in the stadiums was a little bit different. The enthusiasm was different from the players. There's just something different about playing football that time of year. Things are starting to get warm, starting to get hot again. You know, it's not going to be the same. think about this. One of the coolest things about college football, in general, is the matchups that they put together, that they plan. Right now, they're planning years ahead. So when you get a really good game, you know, great example last year was the opener, Chick-fil-A kickoff game, Oregon against Auburn in Arlington, Texas. You had Oregon, that was a really good team, playing against Auburn. It was a really good team. They had no idea when they scheduled the match what the matchup would look like or anything. It ended up being one of the best games of the year. You know, so like the intrigue surrounding out of conference play is going to be non-existent because it's not going to exist. There is not going to be any out of conference play. LSU and Texas, not going to happen. If the Big 12 has to abbreviate their season, are they going to be able to fit 9 games in? Ivy League's talking about doing 7. Because they're going to have to abbreviate their season to get back on schedule for the next season. And it's going to mess with the NFL draft, too. Because how's the NFL going to... When's the NFL going to have their combine? Will all-star games be a thing? You bring all these different things into question when you start thinking about what the college football season's going to look like if we don't play in the fall. It's going to be a domino effect that the entire football world is going to feel. You know, you've already got one conference that's going to be playing in the spring. Okay, so this was actually a genius move by the Ivy League from a business standpoint only, because this was a way that they could not lose. If coronavirus turned out to not be bad and in the fall kind of thing, we had some sort of fix for it and everybody else played, the Ivy League is going to get extra TV exposure and time and better slots than they ever get. Because they're going to be the only football in the spring. And I guarantee you, ESPN, Fox, NBC, CBS are going to do everything they can to eat up those games and put them on the air. Because guess what? It's football. And it doesn't matter who's playing. If you have football, you're generally going to get better ratings than with any other sport. So I can see Saturday afternoons being dominated by Ivy League in the spring. Easily. The next thing that you have to think about, and granted, this is another challenging, difficult thing, is coronavirus turns out really bad. The rest of the college football season doesn't play. Everybody else moves to the spring. Well, the Ivy League, they were the first ones to do it. They set the trend. That's a good look right there. You took care. You showed college football how to do it. You are the brainiacs of college football. Makes all the sense in the world. You get better recruiting because you obviously know what you're doing. So it's a win-win for the Ivy League, regardless of what happens. Very smart. Very smart. Well thought. And that's, you know, that's something that I don't think a lot of people realize all the time. You know, there are ulterior motives to pretty much everything that you see business, right? People will make things seem like it's not really what it is and make it seem like it's something else because they know that's what's going to look better from a PR standpoint and that's what's going to get people talking about it. That's business. It is the way of the world. And a lot of people, I don't think, in America really realize that at all. And that's all right. That's all right. Regardless, There are a couple teams this year that I think we're going to see have pretty awesome years. And I'm going to give you a Power 5 team, and I'm going to give you a non-Power 5 team that you should watch, assuming that the college football season kicks off and plays as according to the plan. Look at SMU. Is a non-Power 5 team you should really watch this year. They've got a very talented quarterback, Shane Buechele, who originally played at Texas as a freshman. His first game, he went into double overtime with Notre Dame in 2016. Fantastic game, by the way. It was on a Monday night, if I remember, Sunday or Monday night, first week of the season. Very good game. All right, so he's basically, in a lot of ways, reminds me of Kirk Cousins, the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. He's very good on a script. He's got a lot of good traits. Nothing that I would say is extraordinary. He just does a lot of things really well. And NFL's okay with that. They'll take somebody like that. I think he can have a really good year and see his stock rise. I think the NFL already really likes him, to be honest. The Power 5 team that I want you to watch this year as an absolute sleeper. And when I say sleeper, I mean, like, I guess it's not entirely a sleeper, but it's there is an expectation around them that I want to set a little bit higher. And that's the Florida Gators. Yes, SEC East people freak out. Florida's really good this year. And especially if Kyle Trask, their quarterback right now, progresses the way that he should. If he comes out and has a fantastic year, Florida is going to kill everyone in the East. And they might go through LSU. I know a few people that would get mad if they heard me say that, but it's true. All right, so Florida is a very good team. And I think with Georgia's their real competition in the SEC East right now. Georgia has got some issues on offense that they're going to have to work out. Yeah, they have one of the best defenses. But when it comes down to the Florida-Georgia game, you better come out there ready to play. And I think Florida's going to be ready to play this year. Florida's going to take down Georgia, and they might just go undefeated to the rest of the SEC. So watch out. All right? Watch out for Florida. Anyways, that's about all the time we have for today, guys. I appreciate you taking the time to listen in on the show. Spread the word, share it around. Obviously, you can follow me on Twitter at John D.A. Vogel, pretty much any other platform as well at that handle. Definitely on Parler too as well. This is an extraordinary time that we live in. Let's really enjoy it as best as we can. God love you all. Have a great rest of the day. We'll be back tomorrow talking it up.